1 Kings chapter 17. Biblical exposition. Overview of the entire content from the perspective of the gospel of the water and the spirit. First, summary of the entire content. 1 Kings chapter 17 records how, in the age when Ahab and Jezebel were spreading Baal worship, Elijah appeared and proclaimed a drought, experienced God's provision at the brook Cherith and at Zarephath, and brought the dead son of the widow back to life. This chapter shows that the one who rules over rain and food and life is not Baal, but the living God, and that when we believe and follow the word of God, that word is fulfilled, just as it is. 1. Elijah proclaims a drought to Ahab. Verse 1. Elijah the Tishbite, who lived in Gilead, suddenly appeared before King Ahab. Elijah declared that the God of Israel whom he served lives, and that for years there would be neither rain nor dew until he gave word. Ahab served Baal and had built the temple and altar of Baal in Samaria. Baal was thought to give rain and the abundance of farming, but through the drought God revealed who it is that rules over the rain and the produce of the land. The drought, Elijah proclaimed, was not a mere natural disaster, but a judgment on the idolatry of Ahab and northern Israel. Even if the king and the people asked Baal for rain, no rain could fall unless God allowed it. 2. Elijah hides by the brook Cherith, verses 2 through 4. After the drought was proclaimed, God commanded Elijah to go eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which is before the Jordan. It was God's guidance to protect Elijah from Ahab's threat. God told Elijah that he would let him drink from the brook and would supply him food through the ravens. The God who had him proclaim the drought also prepared the way to feed and protect his servant within that drought. What Elijah needed was not to know in advance everything that was to come, but to believe and obey the word of God given at that time. 3. The ravens bring food to Elijah, verses 5 through 6. Elijah went to the brook Cherith according to the word of God and stayed there. The ravens brought bread and meat every morning and evening, and Elijah drank from the brook. A raven is not ordinarily a bird that brings its own food to a person, but God commanded even the ravens and fed Elijah. Elijah's survival depended not on his own preparation or ability, but on God's provision. Even in the midst of the drought, God supplied what Elijah needed day by day. He did not pile up food for a long period at once, but gave as much as was needed morning and evening, making him keep relying on God. 4. The brook Cherith dries up, verse 7. As no rain fell, after a while, the brook Cherith also dried up. Though it was the place God had sent Elijah, the water there did not remain forever. The fact that the brook dried up did not mean that God had abandoned Elijah. It meant that the provision through one place had ended and the time had come for him to lead him to another place. Looking at the dried up brook, Elijah had to wait for a new word of God to come rather than move by his own judgment. God, while changing the circumstances, grew Elijah's faith and led him to the next ministry. 5. God sends Elijah to the widow of Zarephath, verses 8 through 12. God commanded Elijah to go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon. Zarephath was in the region of Sidon, the homeland of Jezebel, but it was in that very place that God had planned to protect and feed Elijah. God said he would feed Elijah through a widow, but the widow Elijah met was not a person with ample food. All she had left was a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. The widow was gathering sticks to make her last meal, eat it with her son, and then wait for death. Humanly speaking, she was a person with no ability at all to feed Elijah. God chose not a person of plenty, but a widow with nothing left. Through this, he showed that the power that keeps Elijah and the widow alive comes not from human possessions, but from the Word of God. 6. The widow believes the Word of God and makes bread first. Verses 13 through 14. Elijah told the widow not to fear and told her to make first a small cake for him with the remaining flour and oil, and after that to make food for herself and her son. With this request, God's promise was given together. The word that the bin of flour would not be used up and the jar of oil would not run dry until God sent rain on the earth again. The widow had to choose whether to believe the small amount of flour and oil before her eyes, or to believe the word of God given through Elijah. Her making the bread first was an act of faith that put God's promise before her own life. Elijah's request was not simply to relieve his own hunger, but a process of leading the widow to receive the word of God by faith. 7. The bin of flour and the jar of oil are not used up. Verses 15 through 16. The widow did according to Elijah's word. As a result, the widow and Elijah and her household were able to eat for many days. It was not that an enormous amount of flour piled up in the bin at once, or that much oil suddenly filled the jar. Each time food was made, the flour and oil that were needed kept remaining. This means that God supplied the food needed each day until the drought ended. Looking at the bin and the jar every day, the widow experienced the Word of God living and working. The Baal that Ahab and Jezebel served could not give the nation rain or food, but God fed a poor widow of the region of Sidon and her household. God's power was not limited by the borders of Israel or by a person's station. 8. The widow's son dies. Verses 17 through 18. After experiencing the miracle of the flour and the oil, the widow's son became so seriously sick that in the end his breath left him. Even a family that had experienced God's provision was visited by an affliction hard to understand. The widow connected her son's death with her own sin. She thought that by Elijah's coming to her house, her sin had been exposed, and as a result, her son had died. The widow's reaction shows the fear and guilt felt in the face of a sudden death. She had experienced the miracle of the flour and oil that were not used up. But before the greater problem of death, she could not understand the will of God. Through this event, God intended to show that He is not only the one who supplies food, but also the one who rules even over death. 9. Elijah takes the dead child and prays to God. Verses 19 through 21. Elijah took the child from the widow's arms and went up to the upper room where he was staying. He laid the child on his own bed and cried out earnestly to God. Elijah did not accept the child's death with indifference. He regarded the widow's sorrow as his own problem and carried it before God. Elijah stretched himself out on the child 3 times and pleaded that the child's soul might come back into his body. It was not that he had the power to bring a person to life. He earnestly asked God, the owner of life, Elijah, who had been fed by the ravens at the brook Cherith and had experienced the miracle of the flour and the oil at Zarephath, now came to rely on God over the life of a dead person. His faith grew ever deeper through the events that followed one another. 10. God brings the child back to life. Verses 22 through 23. God heard Elijah's prayer. The child's soul came back into his body, and the child came to life again. Elijah took the living child, came down from the upper room, and gave him back to his mother. To the widow was revealed a power of God, greater than receiving her daily food. Baal and Asherah were thought to give abundance and life, but the one who actually brought the dead child to life was the God of Israel. This event shows that God rules not only over nature and food, but also over a person's life and death. Elijah was not the hero of the miracle, but the man who delivered the word of God and prayed to God. The power that brought the child to life came entirely from God. 11. The widow acknowledges Elijah and the word of God. Verse 24. When the widow saw her son alive again, she acknowledged that Elijah was a man of God, and that the word of God in his mouth was the truth. The widow had experienced God's power through the supply of the flour and the oil. But through the event of her son's coming back from death, she came to hold an even clearer assurance about the word of God. This chapter begins with Elijah proclaiming the word of God to Ahab, and ends with the widow of Zarephath confessing that that word is true. Ahab rebelled against the word of God, but a poor widow of a pagan region believed and obeyed the word, and experienced God's provision and life. The core gospel meaning of 1 Kings chapter 17. First, God is the one who rules over the rain and nature. In the days of Ahab, when Baal was served as the god of abundance, God sent a drought and revealed who the true sovereign is who rules the rain. Second, even in the midst of God's judgment, God protects and provides for the person who follows his word. Elijah was supplied food through the ravens in the brook, and afterward was protected through the widow of Zarephath. Third, God uses people and methods no one expects. The ravens and a poor pagan widow were used as instruments to feed Elijah. Fourth, even the circumstances of a place to which God has led can change. The brook Cherith dried up, but God's provision had not ended. The way he led Elijah had changed. Fifth, faith is putting God's promise before the circumstances in front of one's eyes. The widow of Zarephath did not look only at her last remaining flour and oil, but believed and obeyed the word of God given through Elijah. Sixth, God supplies what is needed day by day. The bin of flour and the jar of oil were not used up until the drought ended, and the widow's family experienced God's faithfulness every day. Seventh, affliction can come even to a person who has experienced God's grace. The event of the widow's son dying did not mean that the provision of God she had experienced was false. It was the process of coming to know the greater power of God. Eighth, God is the one who rules over life and death. By hearing Elijah's prayer and bringing the dead child to life, he revealed that not only food, but also life belongs to God. Ninth, the word of God is fulfilled without fail and is true. The proclamation of the drought, the provision by the ravens, the promise of the flour and the oil, and the event of the child coming to life were all fulfilled according to the word of God. To sum up in one sentence, 1 Kings chapter 17 is the record of how, in the days of Ahab when Baal worship abounded, God proclaimed a drought through Elijah, supplied food at the brook Cherith and at Zarephath, and brought a dead child to life, and so revealed himself as the true God who rules nature, food, and life. Second, chapter 17 Seen from the perspective of the gospel of the water and the spirit. 1 Kings chapter 17 shows the process by which God raised up Elijah in an age that had fallen into physical drought and spiritual famine because of Baal worship, and gave food and life to those who believed the word of God. Seen at the level of the gospel of the water and the spirit, it shows that the true food that gives life to a soul dying in sin is the word of salvation Jesus accomplished, and that God takes responsibility for and leads the person who believes and serves this gospel. 1. A drought is proclaimed in the age of Baal worship. Verse 1. Ahab and Jezebel served Baal and Asherah. Baal was thought to give rain and abundance, but Elijah proclaimed that for years there would be neither rain nor dew until the living God allowed it. The drought was a judgment on the idolatry of Ahab in northern Israel. God revealed that the one who rules rain and farming and life is not Baal, but God. Spiritually as well, when a person casts away the gospel God has given and follows false teaching, the food of life disappears from his heart. However many religious activities there may be, if the word of salvation that washes away sin is not there, the soul falls into famine. In a heart without the gospel of the water and the spirit, sin remains as it is, because such a person does not know the salvation God accomplished through Jesus. He tries to resolve the problem of sin with his own good deeds and religious efforts, but he cannot obtain true peace. 2. Elijah delivers the word of God just as it is. Elijah did not reduce or change the word of God out of fear of King Ahab's power. He proclaimed the word God had given him just as it was. Before the king, the person who preaches the gospel must not alter the word of salvation out of fear of people's reactions either. If worrying that the hearers will dislike it, he leaves out the baptism Jesus received from John the Baptist, or stresses only the blood of the cross, he cannot preach the complete salvation. The gospel of the water and the Spirit is the gospel Jesus completed by taking charge of all the sins of mankind with the baptism he received from John. Receiving the judgment of those sins on the cross and rising again from death, the person who preaches the gospel must accurately deliver not his own knowledge or feelings, but the word of salvation God has recorded in the scriptures. 3. God feeds Elijah at the brook Cherith. Verses 2-6. God told Elijah to go to the brook Cherith and hide. There he let him drink from the brook and supplied him bread and meat, morning and evening, through the ravens. Elijah did not endure the drought by his own ability. God had him deliver the word, and he himself took responsibility even for the life of the man who delivered that word. God used even the unexpected ravens to feed Elijah. This shows that God can supply in various ways what is needed by the person who lives for the gospel. The person who believes in and serves the gospel of the water and the Spirit must believe God and not look only at his own circumstances. God does not abandon the person to whom he has entrusted the gospel. He supplies what is needed at the needed time and enables the work of the gospel to continue. 4. After the brook Cherith dries up, a new way opens. Verses 7-9. As no rain fell, the brook Cherith also dried up. The drying up of the water at the place God had sent him did not mean that God's protection had ended. God had a plan to move Elijah to Zarephath. When the familiar way of provision is blocked, a person can think that God has abandoned him. But God prepares another way when one way ends and leads him on into a broader faith. The person who believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit can also meet changes of circumstances. At such times, he must not judge only by his own calculation, but follow the way the Holy Spirit leads through the Word. God sent Elijah to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon. Even in the heartland of Baal worship, there was a soul God had prepared, and God had a plan to feed Elijah through that person. 5. The widow of Zarephath, who had only her last food left, verses 10 to 12. When Elijah arrived at the gate of Zarephath, a widow was gathering sticks. All she had left was a handful of flour and a little oil. The widow intended to make her last meal, eat it with her son, and wait for death. This widow had reached a state in which she could not live on by her own strength and possessions. She was a person for whom every human possibility had vanished, and who looked only toward death. Spiritually as well, the person who receives the gospel of the water and the Spirit must know the fact that he cannot resolve his sin with his own good deeds and righteousness. He comes to acknowledge that by his own religious efforts he cannot become righteous before God and cannot escape death, the wages of sin. A person who holds on to his own righteousness finds it hard to receive in full the righteousness Jesus accomplished. But the person who knows that he cannot resolve the problem of his sin by his own ability can receive the gospel of the water and the Spirit as the word of life. 6. Elijah asks the widow for bread first, verses 13 to 14. Elijah told the widow not to fear, and to make first a small cake for him. And he delivered the promise that the flour and the oil would not run out until God sent rain. The widow had to choose whether to believe the last visible food or the word of God given through Elijah. Her making the bread first was an act of faith that entrusted her life to God's promise. This does not mean that if one offers material things, one unconditionally gains more material things. What the widow believed was not a reward for her own act, but the promise God had given. Believing in the gospel of the water and the Spirit is likewise putting God's promise before one's own thoughts. Even if sin is seen in one's heart, it is believing the word that Jesus took charge of all sins and washed them away. 7. The gospel of the water and the Spirit is the true food that gives life to the soul. In the sacrifice of the Old Testament, the sinner laid his hands on the head of the sacrificial offering and passed his sins on to it. The offering that took over the sins shed its blood and died, and so bore the judgment of sin in the sinner's place. Jesus took charge of all the sins of mankind on his own body with the baptism he received from John. And carrying the sins of the world, he was hung on the cross, shed his blood, and died, and rose again from death. The baptism Jesus received from John the Baptist is the work of salvation by which all sins were passed on to Jesus. And the blood of the cross shows that the judgment of those sins was completely carried out. Jesus, rising again from death, shows that he has given eternal life to those who believe. The Holy Spirit testifies in the heart of the person who believes that this salvation of the water and the blood is true. The person who believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit receives the remission of sin by believing the word that all his sins were passed on to Jesus and that the judgment of those sins has ended. This gospel is the true food of life that a soul dying in sin must eat. The person who believes the gospel of the water and the Spirit with his heart becomes a righteous person without sin and obtains the eternal life God gives. 8. The bin of flour and the jar of oil are not used up, verses 15 through 16. When the widow of Zarephath believed the word given through Elijah and did just as it said, the bin of flour was not used up, and the jar of oil did not run dry. The widow and Elijah and her household could keep eating throughout the drought. The flour became the food that sustained life, and the oil made it possible to prepare that food. Spiritually, the flour makes us think of God's word of life, and the oil of the Holy Spirit who works in the heart that believes that word. The gospel of the water and the Spirit is not used up no matter how many people it is preached to. Nor does one person's being saved by believing this gospel reduce the salvation another may receive. The salvation Jesus accomplished is sufficient to wash away the sins of all mankind. The person who believes the word keeps eating the gospel of the water and the Spirit as the food of his heart as he lives. The Holy Spirit makes the believer remember the gospel and gives him strength to keep his faith and live even in hardship. 9. The person who has received God's provision goes on to a life that serves the gospel. The widow of Zarephath gave up the last food meant for herself and her son, but as a result, she came to serve not only her own family but Elijah as well. Through the widow's small faith, God protected his servant and kept her family alive too. The person who has been saved by believing in the gospel of the water and the Spirit does not stop at rejoicing over his own salvation. He comes to serve the preaching of the gospel so that other souls may also hear this gospel and receive the remission of sin. Each person's talents and time and material things differ, but the Holy Spirit leads each one to serve the gospel in the way he can. God uses lives offered for the gospel so that the word of life is passed on to more people. God's provision is not meant to fill personal greed. It must be used to serve the gospel and souls. The person who thinks of the gospel first comes to experience God taking responsibility for his life. 10. The widow's son dies, verses 17 through 18. After the miracle of the flour and the oil, the widow's son became sick and died. Unexpected affliction came even to a family that had experienced God's provision. In the face of her son's death, the widow thought of her own sin. Death makes a person think of his fundamental sin and of his state before God. Receiving material food alone does not resolve a person's most fundamental problem. A person needs not only the food of the flesh, but the salvation that delivers from sin and death. God did not stop at giving the widow flour and oil, but made her know that he is the one who rules over life. Through this, he established her faith more deeply and clearly. 11. Elijah cries out to God for the dead child, verses 19 through 21. Elijah took the dead child from the widow's arms and went up to the upper room. He laid the child on his own bed and cried out earnestly to God. Elijah had no power to bring a dead person to life. Relying on God, the owner of life, he asked that the child's soul might come back into his body. The power that gives life to souls does not come from human wisdom or eloquence either. Only in the gospel of the water and the Spirit is there the power that gives life. The person who preaches the gospel must not rely on his own ability, but rely on God, so that the Holy Spirit gives life to souls through the Word. Just as Elijah embraced the widow's sorrow as his own problem and prayed, the person who believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit must not turn away from souls in sin, but preach the gospel to them so that they may believe the word of life. 12. The dead child comes back to life. verses 22 through 23. God heard Elijah's plea, and the child's soul came back into his body, and he came to life again. Elijah gave the living child back to his mother. The one who brought the dead child to life was not Elijah, but God. God is not only the one who supplies food, but the one who overcomes death and gives life. Every person is born cut off from God because of sin. But Jesus took charge of all sins with the baptism he received from John, shed his blood, and died on the cross, and rose again from death, and so gave sinners new life. The person who believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit is saved from sin, becomes a child of God, and obtains the life of Jesus, who rose again from death, even though the flesh dies. On the last day he will live again and live with God forever. 13. The widow comes to know that the word of God is true. Verse 24. When the widow saw her son alive again, she came to know that Elijah was a man of God, and that the word of God in his mouth was the truth. The widow's faith did not stop at receiving the flour and the oil. She experienced the power of God who gives life and came to be assured that the word of God is true. The faith of the person who believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit is also founded on the word of God. He believes not his own feelings but the word, that Jesus removed all sins by the baptism he received from John. The blood of the cross and his resurrection from death. The Holy Spirit gives the assurance of salvation to the heart of the person who believes this word. He does not claim to be righteous by looking at his own deeds. He confesses that he is a righteous person without sin because he believes the salvation Jesus accomplished. 14. In an age of spiritual famine, the gospel of life must be preached. In the days of Ahab, there were many prophets of Baal, but the true word that gave life to Israel was proclaimed through Elijah. The fact that people are many does not make what they preach the truth. Today as well, religious teachings are many, but the word that clearly tells how a sinner is saved from all his sins can be rare. If the gospel of the water and the Spirit is not preached, people believe in Jesus and yet go through spiritual famine with sin in their hearts. Therefore, the person who believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit must preach this word of life accurately. He must make known to the whole world the fact that Jesus took charge of all sins with the baptism he received from John the Baptist, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and rose again from death. Just as God accomplished the work of life in the age of drought through Elijah, so through those who believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit, he delivers the food of salvation to souls fallen into spiritual famine. The core gospel meaning of 1 Kings chapter 17. First, when we depart from the word of God, the soul falls into famine. Just as rain was cut off from the land when Ahab and Jezebel served Baal, in a heart without the gospel of the water and the Spirit, there is no word of life that washes away sin. Second, God takes responsibility for the person who believes and preaches the gospel of the water and the Spirit. The God who fed Elijah through the ravens and the widow of Zarephath supplies what is needed to the person who serves the gospel. Third, the person whose human resources have all been cut off can receive the word of God. The widow of Zarephath, with only her last food remaining, believed God's promise rather than her own circumstances. Fourth, the gospel of the water and the Spirit is the true food that a soul dying in sin must eat. Jesus took charge of all sins with the baptism he received from John, shed his blood and died on the cross, and rose again from death. Fifth, the baptism Jesus received from John and the blood of the cross accomplish one complete salvation. With the baptism, he took charge of sin, and by receiving the judgment of that sin on the cross, he washed away all the sins of those who believe. Sixth, the gospel of the water and the Spirit is not exhausted, no matter how many people it is preached to. Just as the bin of flour and the jar of oil were not used up until the drought ended, the salvation Jesus accomplished is sufficient to save all the people of the world. Seventh, God takes responsibility not only for material needs, but for the life of the soul. The God who gave the widow food also brought her dead son to life, revealing himself as the sovereign over life and death. Eighth, the person who believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit must take part in the work of giving life to other souls. God uses the time and talents and material things of those who believe the gospel so that the word of life is passed on to the world. Ninth, the assurance of salvation comes not from feelings or deeds, but from the word of God. The person who believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit is assured of his salvation on the ground of the word that Jesus completely removed all sins. To sum up in one sentence, 1 Kings chapter 17 shows, through the events in which God gave food and life to Elijah and the widow of Zarephath in the famine caused by Baal worship, that the gospel of the water and the Spirit, completed by the baptism Jesus received from John the Baptist, the blood of the cross, and his resurrection from death, is the true food of life that gives life to souls dying in sin.